and on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
Good morning and welcome to First Christian Church. We're so glad you found us online here today. It's great to see you all from wherever you are worshiping, from Iowa or Illinois or Texas or Missouri, wherever you find yourselves. We are all together as a virtual family of faith today. And so we're so thankful that you found us. We hope that worship will fill your life and bless you and renew you for your own journey of faith. And so we're thankful that we've set aside this time to follow Jesus Christ more closely together. Even though we've paused in-person worship here now because of the very high COVID-19 numbers in our county, some of our small groups and small gatherings are still meeting, and so we're so glad that some of those can still take place. Lastly, a little reminder that as the COVID case here is super high here in Des Moines County, there isn't in-person worship today. There's not going to be in-person worship next Sunday as well. And so we're hoping that the cases will go down so that we can be together here the next few weeks. Along with this, we know that we're working on plans for what Christmas Eve is going to look like, and so you can look for more information in our church newsletter and also online here in the next few days. These are strange times to be thinking about Advent and Christmas, but even if we are worshiping virtually and separate these days, that we still celebrate that Jesus Christ is born in our lives here in this season, and so you can look for more information about that to come here the next few days and weeks. It is the first Sunday in Advent, and so Daryl Bechtel and Heather Hayes are going to come in and lead us in our Advent call to worship.
Christians around the world began this day to await the advent of Christ. We join a joyous and hopeful throng in lighting the Advent candles, symbols of our faith and signs of God's love. We gather as a people of hope. Christian people around the world stand together in breathless anticipation of a miracle that has been repeated for hundreds of years, yet that astounds us anew each year. Our hope springs anew from an ancient vision. Today we light the first Advent candle. May it stand for hope based not on wishful thinking, but on deep conviction. We believe, we have seen, we have received the promise and the great gift, and therefore in the midst of darkness and imperfection, we hope. Gather expectantly, joyfully, and with deep commitment, for we have heard that special child is to come, and that God is to be among us, and that soon we will see a new creation on earth. We are a people of hope.
Doubt and fear. Shall we pray? We come, O God, with adoration and praise to you. Our anticipation grows as we begin the journey to the day of great celebration of the birth of your Son. Open our hearts that we may truly receive the gift of your Son and know that the joy of life with you. This we pray through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm sure that all of you watching at home have played with or have made things out of clay or out of Play-Doh. All of us have taken some Play-Doh and molded it into different shapes, animals, or other things. There are even jobs out there that simply consist of making bowls, jars, and art all out of clay. We call these people potters. Now, what happens, though, if we're playing with our Play-Doh and we forget to put it away and we forget to put it back in the can and close the lid? The Play-Doh hardens, right? It dries up and it makes it very difficult to be able to shape and mold it into the things that we want it to be. Well, this reminds me of the prophet Isaiah and a dilemma that he was having. He was very upset and was talking and begging God to come down and reshape and remold the hearts of his people. Isaiah said, We have sinned and turned away from you, God, and you have become angry with us. How can we be saved? No one calls your name or pleads for your mercy. We've turned away, you have turned away from us. All this sounds pretty hopeless, but Isaiah didn't think so, because Isaiah knew that if the people would turn back to God, God would be able to mold them and shape their lives into exactly what he wants them to be, just like a piece of clay. Isaiah goes on to say to God, O Lord, you're our Father, we're the clay, and you're the potter. We're formed by your hand. Please don't be so angry with us. Look at us and see that we're your people. Isaiah knew that even though the hearts of God's people had hardened, God can still mold them into exactly what he wanted them to be. The people during Isaiah's time are exactly like the people of today's world. We sometimes fall astray and we turn away from God and our hearts are hardened. But it's not hopeless today either, because if we've ask God for forgiveness, and we turn back to God, God can mold us and shape us into what he wants us to be as well. Because God is still the potter, and you and I are still his clay. Have a great and safe week. Shall we pray? Dear God, forgive us when we go astray. Take us in your hands and shape us into what you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's kids shout it out. Amen. We will not fear.
give thanks this day for the gifts and skills of others, and we give thanks for that beautiful music today. As we gather into prayer today, we lift up the family of Sylvia Orndorff, who passed away this past week. Services are still being planned, but we will share with the congregation when details are available. Let us go before God in prayer. Loving God of hope, we open our hearts today to the hope that you provide, a hope that is so much bigger and greater than any hope we find in the world. We give you thanks for the beautiful season of Advent, a time to ready ourselves for the coming of your Son, a time to stop and refocus on what is truly important, the coming of our Savior. And yet, even with that desire in our hearts, we so easily follow the lure of the world's version of this holiday season. We rush through the seasons of our lives as though we had a schedule to keep. We plot out our days minute by minute, and we crowd each moment with tasks and stresses and pressures. We begin to notice, as we busily hurry through the moments, a growing darkness and anxiety in our lives. Every year we proclaim boldly that we will not let ourselves get so caught up in the commercial pressures and demands, and yet, here we are, back in the same old trap of not enough time, not enough energy. Those many plans that we created became constricting and limited. We feel bound up by the pressures and expectations we place on ourselves and that we feel externally. Help us to bind ourselves to you, loving God, and to you alone. Help us to slow down and reflect on the many ways in which you bless us. Let us drink deeply of your peace. Remind us again and again of the most precious gift of all, the gift of loving relationship between you and your creation. May we cherish the people and the peaceful moments that you offer to us. We lift before you our joys, our concerns. We lift our spirits to remember that you are always with us, offering your healing touch and your compassionate care. Help us to place our trust in you. Even as we enjoy and marvel at the beauty of the season, we know that many suffer and struggle at this time. Some may have feelings of depression as the holidays approach because of past memories or missing their loved ones separated from them. This year especially brings changes and difficulties to the season as families are forced to stay apart, leaving many lonely or isolated. We pray for them. We pray that your love would warm them in the absence of family togetherness. We pray for those who are sick from COVID right now. So many in our world, in our country, in our community, and even here within our church family. Bring healing and care and comfort to all who are sick. We pray your blessing on the workers who are striving to find, to create, and distribute a vaccine. We pray for those who are without right now, without enough food, enough warmth, enough of whatever life-sustaining resource they lack. We pray that we could be inspired to serve those who are without. We pray for all who mourn this season, and we lift up the family of Sylvia Orndorff. We pray that they would find comfort and solace in your love. We give you thanks for her life lived. Hopeful God, in these days of Advent, may our voices ring with joy, with peace, and with hope. Wherever you send us, may we be diligent in following, for we are ever in search of your salvation, even as we continue to search for the Christ child, our Savior, in whose name we sing with joy and offer our prayers. In his name we pray together the words that he taught his disciples, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning we open up God's word, turning to the book of Mark, chapter 13, beginning with verse 24. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Who's next? Next? Anybody next? When I was a kid in high school, growing up in Columbia, Missouri, I would often go downtown to the old Tiger Barbershop to get my hair cut. This was back in the day, right, when I still had enough hair to go to the barbershop to get my hair cut. And so I would walk into this old shop that wasn't much bigger than like a galley-style kitchen. When you walked in the door, on the right-hand side were four barber chairs. On the left-hand side was a whole row of other chairs where people would sit and wait. There was this old TV mounted up on the top left-hand corner of the room that was like permanently left on ESPN. There were all kinds of old magazines seated there in those chairs, Sports Illustrated and Field and Stream and all kinds of magazines. There was that Days and the Day Before's and the Day Before That's newspapers sitting there as well. And this old place just down the block from the University of Missouri was often filled with students from the college. For decades, they've been going there to get their hair cut. And so when you walked in, there'd be students filling the place. But not only students. There were business professionals. There were attorneys. There was doctors. There was also blue-collar workers there as well. It was a melting pot of all kinds of people from the city. Some of them were talking about sports. Some of them are listening into the conversation. Some of them are reading the paper or one of the old magazines, all of whom were sitting there waiting for the call to come. Next? Who's next? Are you next? They may have a fancier system these days of like numbers or pages or some kind of call ahead kind of system than they had 25 years ago when I went there. But for back in the day, it was simply the call to come. Who is next? I can still see the barber cleaning off the chair, shaking out the cape, looking to see who has come in and who is next in line. Who's next? The scene has been going through my mind over these past few weeks as we all have been waiting on what is next to come in our lives. It may be the fact that we are waiting for this 2020 year to come to an end, for 2020 has now turned into a bad kind of word, as in, oh, what a 2020, or that is so 2020. We're all counting down the days until there's a fresh start with a new year and a new calendar and a new beginning with a next year to come. And so as we're waiting for what is to come next, we begin with something next and new here at church. Today's the first Sunday in the season of Advent, and Advent is these 4 weeks, the season leading up to the season of Christmas, that is all about getting ourselves ready, our homes, our churches, and our lives, ready for the birth of Christ. And so as we hear about what is to come next in Jesus, we realize that God has been speaking all through the years, all down through the men and women of the Old Testament, God was trying to get the message through. God moved through prophets and teachers. God spoke through Moses and Aaron and Sarah and Abraham and Miriam and Elijah. God moved in so many ways, all with the hopes of bringing the people back into relationship with him. God being like a SEAL team search party out looking to bring people back home, so it is that God has always been searching to bring us back home with him. But after all those prophets and all those teachers in the Old Testament, God came to us, we know, through Jesus. And God, Emmanuel, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, God comes to bring us back home. And so we hear about what God is doing next in Jesus. In this person that we have come to know and love in our lives, this babe that is born in a manger, we get to spend these next 4 weeks together here as a church family, getting ourselves ready for what God is doing next in Jesus. Now to help us on this first Sunday, we hear this reading from Matthew's Gospel, from Mark's Gospel. And in this, we hear this message that may sound familiar to us. In fact, if you've been worshiping with us online over these past few weeks, then maybe you remember that we heard the Apostle Paul talking to the Philippians and the Thessalonians, even the Ephesians, last week. And so what we heard from Paul was the call and the challenge to always be ready. We heard him say things like, you do not know the hour or the season when the Son of Man is going to come. It will come like a thief in the night, Paul even said. Paul was doing his best to make sure that people were ready and awake and alert for the second coming of Jesus to arrive. If you worshiped the past couple of weeks with us, then maybe you heard that theme. Well, today from Jesus, we get a variation of that same theme. But instead, this time, not just talking about the second coming of Jesus, Jesus himself is talking about the first coming. As in, look at what God was doing through him, that he is the next in line. He is God in the flesh, flesh and bones in front of their face. This is what God was doing. And so we even heard him say things like, but about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, only the Father. And so he says, beware and keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. Jesus says, look at what God is doing here in your midst. And along with this, he gives them this agricultural lesson about fig trees. He reminded them that they are very good at recognizing when those fig trees are ripe and the fruit is there ready to be picked. He says, if you're so good at seeing those trees and when they're ripe, you are missing what God is doing here among you now. I mean, if Jesus were talking to us in the Midwest, if he was from the Midwest just like us, he wouldn't talk about fig trees. He would say things like, you can recognize when the corn is way past knee high by the 4th of July. You know when the field is turning brown and when the combines will soon do their harvesting. You can recognize that. You know the changing of the seasons. But you often miss where God is moving in your life. And so Jesus says, just like he told the disciples and he told the people among them, he tells us here now, pay attention. Keep awake for what God is doing in your midst. He gives us this agricultural lesson, even for those of us who know nothing about farming. There's still something here. It's especially good for us to hear this, for those of us who are tired of this year, who would rather just go to sleep and wake up post-pandemic. We're hoping that 2021 brings a vaccine when we can pick back up with the life that we left so long ago. It's like we're all waiting in the chairs there in a barbershop, waiting for our name and number to be called. We are ready to say, I've had enough of this season. I'm tired of living life this kind of way. But while we're so focused on where we are going and trying to get out of this kind of life, we're falling asleep to what God is doing here and now, where Jesus is moving in our midst. I mean, Jesus is like, we're so good at watching the corn change and the wheat fields and the soybeans turn brown. You're so good at noticing those seasons, but you're missing where the Spirit is moving in your life today. It's like we're so far ahead of ourselves, we've fallen asleep at the wheel. But the gospel message is all about challenging us to keep awake for where God is moving these days. You see, we all know that this year has been a bummer. It's been full of disappointments and all kinds of loss. It has been downright scary as this pandemic has been affecting all of us and people that we know and love, people in our church who normally fill our pews, people in our homes and people in our lives. I mean, this has been an awful kind of year. But sometimes, as that old saying goes, we've been so focused on counting the days, we've forgotten to make the days count. We've missed the presence of Christ alive and moving and carrying us forward when we could not go any farther on our own. Because even in this year, Christ has been alive. He's come in unexpected blessings at Thanksgiving this past week. In a year that was a whole lot more quiet than it usually is for all of us. But it was lovely and a blessing nonetheless. Jesus comes to us in kind words from friends when they can see the look on our face, even peeking above a mask, asking if we are okay, and really wanting to know, are we okay? He moves through doctors and nurses and healthcare workers who put their own family at risk to help fight a virus they can't contain and don't seem to understand. He moves through all of us as he strengthens us and empowers us and fills us even now. We have to be awake to see it, though. We have to decrease the noise and increase the presence of God, because he is here. And so we may feel like we're sitting in the chair, waiting for our number to be called, waiting for the word next to come. But Jesus says, keep watch, stay awake, be alert for the moving of the Lord, because he's here. Thanks be to God. Amen.